This is Chuy Nunez, and I'm the executive pastor at Lighthouse Church in Chula Vista, California. I want to start off by saying thank you for tuning into our podcast. Wherever you are listening, our mission at Lighthouse is that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. We look forward to building community with you and doing life together. Now, here's today's message by lead pastor Sam Mascarenhas. We hope it is a blessing to your life.
Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. So, you know, years ago, we sat back and we thought about, okay, why are we here as a church? Why do we exist as a church? We really began to explore and to think and to pray and to examine, why do we do what we do? Why does Lighthouse Church exist? And so as we really thought about it, prayed about it, considered where we were, what we're trying to do, we came up with this theme, this mission statement, call it what you want, but it was really in response to that question, why are we here? Why does Lighthouse Church exist? If you're wondering, why is this church here in Eastlake? What is it that we're trying to do? Here's what we concluded. Lighthouse Church exists so that people far from God can fulfill their potential in Christ. Lighthouse Church exists so that people far from God can eventually fulfill their potential in Christ. Amen? So I have underlined those three words, fulfill their potential. Everybody say, fulfill my potential. That means that you're here, wherever here is, and there's potential for you to be this, higher, better, amen? So in between here and here, this is called potential. All of us here have potential to be better. All of us has potential to elevate our lives. That is what makes life exciting. That is what makes life interesting. When you are young, you are full of potential because you're broke, but you got potential. Anybody remember being young and broke? Anybody there right now? As you get older, guess what? You still have potential. Some of the wealthiest people didn't make their money until post 50. After they were 50, sometimes after 70. So don't just, oh, I'm old, I'm 44. Let me give you news. If God was done with you, he would just take you home. Why did he leave you here? Because we have potential to do more, to accomplish more. Oh, but pastor, no, don't butt pastor me. I'm telling you, all of us, I don't care if you're 20 or 12 or 92, all of us have potential to do greater things. Step one is to believe that. And I know for some of us that's hard because maybe all you've ever been told is that you have no potential. Maybe all you were told growing up is that you were no good, that you would never amount to anything. Has anybody ever heard that from somebody in your life? Anybody ever like told you stuff like that? Just a few of you. The rest of you were raised by angels. I remember when I was in high school, there was a teacher that told me, you will never amount to anything. In high school. I had just moved here. My English wasn't very good. I didn't understand. I had a hard time in school because I didn't understand English. I couldn't speak. Couldn't read it. And she just straight up looked at me right in the eye. She goes, you will never amount to anything. Ooh. You know, when you're 17, that penetrates deep. So I hung on to that. Went to school. Went to college. Got my degree in accounting. Got my master's degree in tax, top 1% in the nation. I went back looking for her. She had passed away already. Anyhow, that's the end of the story. There's nothing else. I'm just saying, we all have had people like that in life that will question you, challenge you, discourage you, belittle you, demean you. And if you're not careful, that word can become reality. But I knew that wasn't true. And I want to encourage you to believe this morning with me that whatever negative thing has been said about you was not true either. That was not God. Because God speaks good things. God speaks life. Amen? So be careful who you listen to. So we exist so that all of us, in connection and partnership with God, can fulfill our potential with and through and in Christ. So that's why this series to me is foundational to who we are as a church, and quite frankly, foundational for me as a pastor, because I deeply believe and I'm passionate about trying to help everybody I can elevate their life in partnership with Christ. Amen? That's why I do this. I want to help you partner with God and elevate your life. Because you're a good husband, but you could be a great husband. You're a wonderful wife, but you could be an awesome wife. You're a great son or daughter, but you could be amazing. You're a great business owner, but you could be you're a good leader. You're a good manager. You're a good supervisor, but you could really be awesome. So all of us have potential to escalate and to become a better version of ourselves. And that's really what our church is about, in partnership with God. And so as you grow, you know, I was thinking about this theme, growing pains. And all the parents say amen. We're all familiar with growing pains with our kids, right? Although it's funny, I actually researched it. It's not a thing scientifically, but it's very commonly associated with the fact that when you're young, kind of between 10, 11, 12, you know, that when kids start growing, their growth spurts, like their bones hurt, their legs, usually it's their legs and their arms, like it hurts. There's no scientific thing. It's just kind of coincidental, or I think it's the stretching. Somehow, growing pains is associated with the fact that as you're growing, you're stretching, there's pain involved. And so as you study the world, and particularly living things, you will find that some of the common characteristics in all living things is that they move, they grow, and they change. All living things on earth, whether it's a plant or an animal or an insect or you and me, all living things have these three things in common. They move. That's why some of you gotta get out of that gaming chair or your recliner once in a while and move. Oh, move me, Jesus. And you're on your couch. No, it's like you move. All living things move. If you're alive and you move, say amen. Amen. And if you're alive and not moving, you're not alive. You're just existing. Move. Okay, fine. All living things move, grow. Notice, if you're alive, you're supposed to be growing. That's part of being alive. And all living things not only move and grow, but as they grow, they change. So I want you to just stop here for a second and look inwardly. It's not like, oh, I'm glad he's here. No, I'm talking to you. Look inwardly and say, am I moving? Am I growing? Am I changing for the better? Or am I still stuck in 1987? Are you still stuck in some earlier version of yourself? You haven't moved since then. Have you ever met people that are stuck in their past? Isn't it sad? All they talk about is 20 years ago. It's like the world moved. Like stuff's happened. But they stay stuck back there. Often because of fear that tomorrow can't be better than yesterday was. So I'll just stay there. All living things move, grow, and change. So I ask you, are you moving? Are you stuck in the same place? I'm not talking just physically. I'm talking spiritually. Some people haven't moved spiritually. You accepted Christ and you stayed there. This is not new. The Apostle Paul said, some of you ought to be grown up and you're still babies. It's kind of cute when you hit a little 3-month-old with a bottle. Not cute when they're 13. Even less cute when you're 33. You see a 33-year-old with a bottle, walk away. Not cute. Spiritually, the same thing. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to move from where I first believed to where I'm now. How many know that now you have more faith than when you first believed? Has God done nothing in your life? The more God does, the more faith I have. Matter of fact, the more God does, anybody been serving God for at least 30 years? Anybody serving at least 30 years? Why are you still here? I'll tell you why I'm still here after 40 years of serving God. Because when I was young in Christ, I had faith. I hadn't seen enough. I hadn't experienced enough in my own life, but I had faith. I believe it could happen. I believe it happened in other people. It hadn't happened in me, but I believed in faith. 40 years later, you know what I found out? I need less faith than I used to. I don't need as much. You know why I don't need much faith anymore? Because now I have confidence. I've seen him do it so many times in my life. God has been so faithful for so. I'm not talking about 4 days. I'm not talking about 4 months. I'm talking about 40 years in my life. I've seen God be faithful time and time again. I don't need faith in those things. I have confidence. He did it before. He's going to do it again. I've grown. I'm not the same. I pray all of us focus on growth. It's part of being alive. Matter of fact, growth is a fundamental part of a thriving life. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, financially, and spiritually, every facet. Growth is fundamental. You cannot thrive if you don't grow. How many of us want to thrive in life? How many, you don't have to say amen. Just, you know you want to thrive. Well, if you really want to thrive, then the real question is, am I growing? Am I doing something differently? Am I trying something new? Am I extending myself? Am I challenging myself? Am I really pushing hard? Growth will always involve movement and change, which can be painful, but necessary for growth. Growth involves movement and change. Some of us don't like change. Don't say amen, but you know who you are. You sit in the same place every Sunday. When someone sits in your area, you get mad. They're in my chair. That's my chair. Get off my row. This is my row. God forbid you wake up late because you can't come to 11 because you come at 9. Some of us just don't like change. But growth involves movement and change. You cannot grow while you do nothing. Growth involves movement. Growth involves change. And that movement and change is not always smooth. That growth is sometimes painful. Sometimes, have you ever felt God forced you to move? Like it was God? Like you were, no, I'm good. And God's like, go. Like that old cartoon, you know, with the. Was it a buzzard? It was, right? Kicks him out of the nest. Da-dup, da-dup, da-dup. Well, you don't know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you got to kick that kid out of the nest. I saw a meme that made me laugh. They're like, how old's your baby? He's like, oh, he's 384 months. And you got to be careful when you ask God to help you grow. Because sometimes you think God's going to say, okay, baby, let's go. Sometimes God's like, grow. Sometimes he whispers, sometimes he yells. So growth involves movement and change, which can be painful, which can be disorienting, which can be scary. But it is absolutely necessary for growth. Amen? So I was thinking of, like, very fundamental growth. So look at this picture, like a little seed, right? Just a little seed. And you notice this is like in three different stages. So when you first put it in the ground, it's just a seed, right? Just there's nothing there. It's just like you look a little, just like a regular seed, a little pod. But then you see what happens here? How many know that between here and here there's growth? What changed? You know what changed? Something had to break through. Something had to break through the shell. That's painful. That shell breaking is painful. But your desire to grow has to outweigh your aversion to pain. Because you're like, I don't want to hurt. I don't want it to hurt. Then you're going to stay like that all day. Your desire for change has to be greater than your aversion to pain. I don't like pain either, but I prefer growth. So this is going to, it's going to hurt. It's breaking the shell. But when it breaks the shell, growth can happen. Amen? Some of you ought to try that with your worship. I saw you this morning. Choir's up, you're sweating it. Choir was sweating. I saw you all. They were pushing. They were going. And some of you were like the first seed. But I did see some of you go like. Turn to the person next to you and tell me you got to grow in your worship. You see the third one? The third one's already praising God. You see the third one? That's praising God. This is second week of church. This is some of you today. Some of you ought to stay for second service. Maybe we'll get you here. By the end of the month, woo! Come on, seedlings. Growth can be painful. You got to break through some stuff. You got to break through the shyness. You got to break through the, what are they going to say? You got to break through, oh my God, it's going to look weird. Oh my God, I've never done this before. You got to grow through all that. It's the same in worship. It's the same in school, in your career. Oh my God, that promotion. Oh my God, no, I'm not ready. And then some fool gets it that was less qualified than you. Why did they get it? Because they were not afraid to say, me. Be frustrated all your life. At some point, your desire for growth has to exceed your aversion to pain, or else growth doesn't happen. So let's get into the word. Oh my God. There's no way I'm going to get through this. All right, we got a whole month. Yay. So how do we begin to think differently? How do we begin to challenge ourselves for growth? Think about every area of your life right now. Think about every area of your life right now. Physically, emotionally, intellectually, financially, spiritually, every area of life. And ask yourself, where do I need to grow right now? Which of the five areas? Physically, emotionally, intellectually, financially, spiritually. Which of these five areas do I need to grow? Where am I the furthest behind? Where do I need to grow? And I want you, as we go through this month, in every verse we read, I want you to apply it to that area where you really want to grow. Okay? So let me give you a couple of verses. Proverbs 9:9 says this. Instruct a wise man or a wise person, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. The question is, instruct a wise, so what's wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what, why, when, and how to make improvements in your life. So when a wise person, instruct a wise person, a wise person, when instructed, goes through this process of thinking about, okay, what do I need to change? Why do I need to change it? When should I need to change it? How am I going to do that, right? All of that, the wisdom to know when to do that. So instruct a wise person, and he will be wiser still. You'll grow, you'll develop, you'll mature, you'll get better. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. So I'm going to ask you a very important question. Who or what is challenging you to grow? Who do you have in your life that challenges you to grow? Who do you have in your life that challenges you to be better? Who do you have in your life that is pushing you to not settle for anything less than your absolute best? Who? Or sometimes what? What is? How many of sometimes it's just life? It's not a person, it was an event. Like you got fired of your comfy job. And all of a sudden, like, ooh, what am I gonna do now? Like sometimes life forces you to say, okay, what skills do I have? What certifications do I have? What do I need to do to get the next job? Like, how do I position myself? Like, sometimes life pushes you to have to do something differently. And so if you have no one or nothing that's challenging you, it's going to make it very easy for you to stay very comfortable in your little shell. And I know comfort is nice, but comfort is the opposite of growth. So do you want to grow or be comfortable? That's a question for all of us. And as people challenge you, as life challenge you, question then is how are you responding to that challenge? Do you get mad? Do you get offended when someone tells you, hey, you can do better? Oh, stop telling me. I hate that. So dumb. No, I don't want you to stay dumb. Leave me alone. No. All the parents say amen. Oh, parents, can I talk to you for a second? Stop trying to be your kid's best friend. Hey, buddy. Hey, champ. You better have a trophy. I'm going to call you champ. Stop giving participation awards. Didn't we learn that doesn't work? How many know that it's better to get tough love at home than to get it in real life? Parents, your kids have plenty of friends. They only have one set of parents. That's you. Don't give that away. Oh no, my kids are gonna hate me. Look, your kids might hate you now, but they'll thank you for the next 50 years. Or your kids may love you now and realize for the last 50 years you didn't help them grow. It's our job as parents to push our kids. Lovingly, yes. Supportingly, yes. Encouraging, yes. But still push. Nobody knows them better than you. Their strengths, the areas where they're good, the areas where they're not good. And by the way, parents, if your kids are not good at something, stop telling them they are. Oh, you'll get it next time. No. No, they're not. It's not their thing. Look, I'm not kidding. I have both of my daughters right in the front row. They're amazing. They're wonderful. They're beautiful. They're smart. They were not athletic. They were not. They didn't have that athletic thing, you know? They just didn't. We tried every sport. We tried it all, didn't we, girls? Well, you know what? We gave it a good old try. That's not their thing. But they're smart. So you know what? Focus there. Focus, do that. Let's double up on that. I don't care if you get the trophy for first place and you're the captain of X. Give me an A. Because that A will take you farther than that little cheap plastic trophy will. Right? So you got to find out their strengths. You got to find out what they're good at and then double up on that. Amen? Some parents are trying to live vicariously to their kids. Their parents were not athletic, and now you're trying to live to your kids. Your kid's not good. Oh, you're going to make it to the pros. No. No. By the way, I've met some pros. I'm telling you, there's a whole world between them and us normal people. They're just built differently. You can tell. Most of us are just decent at something. Pros are a whole different level. So you know what? Love God, be smart, do good in school, find your trade, build a good life. That's the stuff that matters. Amen? Ooh, it's going to be a rough month. I have so much in here. Let me go one more. Proverbs 19:20 says this, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. Everybody say advice. That means counsel, purpose, plan, strategy. Listen to that. So again, I got to ask you, who's giving you advice? Who are you going to get counsel and purpose and plans and strategy? Who's helping you be strategic about your life? Strategic about your next 10 years? If you're 20 to 30, I'm telling you, those years are important. They're foundational for the rest of your life. Get your skill. Get your degrees. Get your trade. Figure out what you're good at. 20 to 30, you got to figure it out. If you don't figure out 20 to 30, the rest of your life is going to be really hard. Figure out what you have 20 to 30. 30 to 40, get really good at it. 40 to 50, make your big moves. 50 to 60, those are your big earning years. After 60, it's over. No, you know what? You know what you do after 60? You know what you do after 60? You retire. No, here's what you do after 60. Hopefully you've learned some things and have reached certain levels of maturity in life. You begin to look for the 20 and 30 year olds that can benefit from your wisdom. You begin to look for somebody you can help that's got potential, that will not waste. You know, you're like, oh, I know, you're so mean, Pastor. Can I tell you something? You know, Jesus was also mean. Jesus himself said, do not cast your pearls amongst the swine. What does that mean? If I'm giving you something valuable and you don't value it, I will not do that with you. I'm not going to waste my time with you again. I'm giving you pearls. And you sniff them and you spit them out because you don't understand the value of what I just gave you. I'm not wasting my time on you. That was Jesus, sweet Jesus, loving Jesus, baby Jesus. And I've met people like that. You want to help them? You want to give them advice? You want to encourage them? And they won't take it. You know what? I'm not going to waste my time. Somebody else will take it. So I think when you start getting to that age, you know, beyond your 60, you retire, you've accomplished some things, you've learned some things, you begin to look, say, okay, who would value this pearl? Right? Who would take advantage of this and give it to them? So listen to advice and accept. Everybody say discipline. Discipline means correction, to be chastised, to be rebuked. Kind of like what this sermon's all about. Listen to advice. Accept discipline, and at the end, everybody say, at the end. It's a journey, folks. It's a process. Success doesn't happen overnight. Anybody that's good at anything took years of practice and dedication and discipline and sacrifice. It wasn't just overnight. You know why the lotto is such a big thing? Because the lotto is overnight success. That's why millions of people buy a ticket. Because you'd rather get lucky than earn it. Because earning it takes time. It takes discipline. Every day. It takes focus. It takes dedication. It takes drive. It takes getting back up and doing it again and again and again and again. That takes a lot of effort. So we'd rather just buy a ticket and get lucky. So there's got to be a discipline. I'll do one more verse, okay? One more verse. And then I'll finish. So understand that a willingness to listen to advice and endure discipline is what positions you for personal growth. Amen? Is your willingness to listen to advice and then to endure the discipline, endure the process, to trust the process. That's what positions you for personal growth. Let me finish with this next verse. Hebrews 12. No discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by it. Trained by what? Trained by what? Trained by discipline. So, we got to understand the deferred benefits of discipline and pain. It's a deferred benefit. At the moment, it doesn't feel good. At the moment, it hurts. At the moment, it's almost offensive. At the moment, it's tough. At the moment, it almost feels heartless. Who likes to be told they're wrong? Who likes to be challenged? We don't like it. At the moment, we don't like it. That's what I said. At the moment, but later, everybody say later on. But later on, as you go through this process, and see, here's the challenge for us in this generation. That deferred benefits, that's later, of discipline and pain, they clash with our comfort and our desire for instant gratification. We want everything now. I want it now. And the best things in life don't happen now. They take time. It takes a journey. It takes discipline. It takes effort. It takes consistency. It takes grit. It takes perseverance. It doesn't just happen overnight. You want to just buy your little success at Trader Joe's, pop it in the microwave 30 seconds later, voila. No, that's not how it works. They don't sell that anywhere. You got to develop that. You got to be willing to go through that. Later on, it yields a harvest of righteousness and peace to those who have been trained by that discipline. Some of you right now might be going through some growing pains. Can I tell you something counterintuitive? Growing pains are a privilege, not a curse. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing. Pressure? Oh my God, I'm under so much pressure. So much pressure. Pressure is a privilege. People that have nothing going on in their lives have no pressure. Pressure is a privilege. I'm glad I'm under pressure. That means something good is happening. That means something good is cooking. Thank God for pressure. I stopped asking God to take away the pressure and the stress. You know, I learned to say, God, thank you for the stress. Thank you. You're shaping me. Thank you. You're keeping me focused. Thank you. The pressure is, because you know, when you're under pressure, you have no time for silly stuff, don't you? Have you noticed that? When you're under pressure, you have no time to waste on drama or gossip or what to do. Let's scroll. No, you're under pressure. Like, you got to perform. Amen. Anybody been under pressure? Isn't it amazing the focus you can get when you're under pressure? Imagine that person every day. Just go. So that when we get to heaven, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll relax. Amen? When we're in heaven, you and I, we'll go and we'll fly around. I might even learn to play the harp. But that's when I get to heaven. Right now, hustle. You only get one life, people. You get one. And like David said, I once was young, now I'm old. Got a haircut yesterday. I saw all this gray hair falling on the thing. I'm like, you didn't clean your clippers. He got nervous. I'm like, oh yeah, you did. It's me. It's fast, huh? Fast. So all the young people, take it from an old guy. Don't waste your youth chasing things that are dumb and will not yield any long-term benefit. Focus on things that matter.
If this message was a blessing to your life, I encourage you to share it with others. I invite you to visit us online at gotolighthouse.org to stay connected and see how you can continue supporting today's message. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.